you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Howdy, folks. Welcome back to episode number 114 of the Mind Body Peak Performance Podcast with your host, Nick Urban. So today we are continuing last week's episode on all things therapeutic peptides, but this time we're specifically focusing on fat loss. That's right. Our guest has a special program and a book that he's recently released called Shortcut to Shreds, which is one of the most effective fat loss programs created to date. In case you missed last week's episode, Jay Campbell is a four-time international best-selling author, a men's physique champion, and the founder of the Jay Campbell brand. He's best known for his well-thought-out, well-researched articles and teaching around all things hormone optimization and therapeutic peptides, and now fat loss. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed chatting. The show notes will be at mindbodypeak.com/114. All right, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Jay Campbell.
We'll move on to your new work now, and that is the upcoming book. I believe it's called 30 Days to Shreds with the number 2 and Shreds with a Z. So you mentioned one small molecule a second ago that I have and I've been using, and that is tesofensine. And I find it really interesting, but for me, ironically, the biggest side effect that I didn't like is that it suppresses my appetite too well. If I take it today, I won't have an appetite today or tomorrow, and my appetite will start coming back the day after, which is profound because I usually consume between 3,500 and 4,000 calories a day.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you're one of the lucky ones. I mean, there's no question that there's an appetite suppressing effect in the literature with tesofensine, but it usually isn't shown or seen until a couple months of using. And then also there's also a metabolic effect, right? There is a quote unquote, uncoupling, you know, after about 4 or 5 months. So yeah, dude, it's one of those holy grail, agents in that it dramatically improves BDNF, right? It's a brain-derived neurotropic factor. It increases that, and it's noticeable. I mean, most people who take tesofensine, whether you take a lower dose of 250 milligrams or a higher dose of 500 milligrams, within a day, and sometimes, dude, it's like within a couple hours, you feel improved well-being. And that's because your mind is releasing all this BDNF. So you can easily, you know, if you're a creator, I tell people this all the time. Like, if you're a creator like us, you got to use tesofensine. I mean, it just puts you into a flow state so much faster than not. And again, you know, depending on where you live, as you know this, I mean, like, dude, the world is so contaminated. You know, you eat one meal or take one bad thing that night before, and then you wake up in the morning and you're like, what happened to me? It's like, you know, you want to, how can I get back into a quote unquote creative mind state? Well, BDNF from tesofensine will put you there. I will say, you know, just to be, you know, clear, 90% of people who use tesofensine absolutely love it, right? I don't get a lot of complaints, but there are people, and again, this is my pet theory, who do, they can't stay asleep, and they can't go to sleep on it. They're so wired. They're such in a flow state. They're literally like laying again in their bed, staring at the ceiling, thinking like, what do I got to do? Who do I owe money to? You know what I mean? Like, the mind won't shut down. So it's like, I've had hundreds, it usually is women. And again, I'll give you my pet theory, but I've had hundreds of women message me, you know, across comms saying, oh my God, I love this. I'm so grateful that you taught me about this. But dude, and then it's like, I can't use it. I won't sleep. And then, so I start thinking like, what is the commonality? What is the common thread here with all these women that are having the same thing? And so it hit me one day. I was like, I bet you these women were using SSRIs. So I started messaging them back. And sure enough, dude, I only had to talk to 5 of them. Well, a long time ago or at one time. So I had this weird, again, it's just a pet theory, that if you used SSRIs or were prescribed SSRIs at some point in your life, tesofensine, which by the way is not an SSRI, I want people to be clear about this. It was an orphaned drug that was originally geared to treat depression, not as an SSRI though. It was a dopamine agonist, but I want people to know this is not an SSRI because I've had people come after me on this. It triggers or turns on or reactivates or maybe even deactivates specific pathways in the brain that I think the SSRIs did bad things to. And so now you start reintroducing tesofensine into your life, and all of a sudden, a lot of those calm dormant pathways fire back on. And so that's what's happening with these people that can't sleep on this. Like, it's like they've got all these things that were shut off or deactivated or maybe just destroyed firing back on. And that's what, you know, I think it is. It's like all this BDNF that you were naturally capable of making got blasted and turned off from the SSRI, which you and I both know are horrible drugs. You know, they cause permanent alteration to the brain pathways. I'm thinking tesofensine turns them back on. And so all these people are now like, I've never had these on for so long. They're back on again and I can't sleep. So the solution for these people, if you're one of those people, is to lower the dose. So it was the original dose. The clinical recommendation is 500 milligrams, which is what I started taking in December.
Is it milligrams or micrograms?
Micrograms, 500. Okay. And in 2021, I'm glad you caught me on that because I always mess these up. But I started in December of 2021, and I took that until February of this year. Not straight. I took some time off, but. Chris, the owner of Limitless, started making it lower dose because he had the same issues with all these women. And so he's like, you know what? Let me just make a lower dose and see what happens. That usually alleviates the issue. So the people that have a problem at 500 micrograms are now at 250 and they don't have the same problem. So personally, after using 500 as long as I did, you know, on and off for about 15 months, dude, I don't notice a difference now from 250 to 500. I get the same BDNF stimulation. Full disclosure, I never had an issue with it. You know, I would always go to sleep. It never like overstimulated me. I did not have the appetite suppression that you had for sure. But I just feel amazing on it. Like, I mean, I love this stuff, right? And again, I know a lot of other people do too, but consider yourself lucky. I definitely have had some people that have told me they noticed the appetite suppression, but not as strong as you. So that's actually great that that's happening for you. So, I mean, you're going to be one of those people that's like, this is like a can't miss, must have, because again, it's increasing creative state flow, it's suppressing appetite, and then, you know, after 3 or 4 months of consistent usage, it's also increasing metabolic production, or, you know, it's basically an uncoupler, so you're gonna have fat loss from it too.
And the way it works is it a triple monoamine reuptake inhibitor, meaning that it increases dopamine and serotonin and other, I think, is it noradrenaline?
It technically is, but it's not in the same class as an SSRI would be in the same way. So, you know, that's where people will argue and debate. Well, you know, it's, you know, you're just using a semantic argument. Well, no, not really, because so here's the thing, and you can test this on yourself, and I've tested this on myself and a lot of other people. And this is, again, also in the clinical research, there is no receptor attenuation or addiction from this drug. You can cold turkey withdraw this drug at any point in time and you will not have any effects. And I have done this for myself, where I went off of it cold turkey for 2 months straight, never once felt like I had to take it. You know, never once felt like I woke up in the morning and was like, why am I not on my tesofensine? You know what I mean? So, I mean, that to me is proof that it's nothing like an SSRI, because good luck if you did that with an SSRI that you were on for 3 months or 4 months or 6 months and you attempted to do that, you would have definite effects.
All right. Well, we got sidetracked on one particular compound. Tell me about your book and your methodology. I mean, you mentioned it briefly at the beginning, but I want to hear more about what you've been working on.
Yeah, for sure. So 30 Days to Shreds is essentially the book teaching people how to use all these new, you know, enhanced peptides and gray market agents for fat loss to lose the most amount of body fat possible in 30 days or less. Now, granted, the entire program is based on alternate day fasting combined with tirzepatide or semaglutide or perhaps even both. But everything is designed to go into it, you know, wherever you are and come out of it in 30 days, dropping your body fat in the most advanced, most precise, maximum amount possible. And again, it's all programmed based on whether or not you're a newbie, you're advanced, or you're, again, fully effing optimized. So all of the programming is based around where you are at a quote-unquote fitness, fat loss, and fasting level. And then, you know, we tell you the truth. You know, we're like, look, if you use this agent and don't use this agent, you can't, you're not going to get the same effects. And the reason, obviously, we love tirzepatide and semaglutide is the GLP-1 agonist is most people who struggle with fasting have hunger pangs they can't overcome. With these new GLP-1 agonists, that's not an excuse anymore because people can literally go 24 to 26 hours without even being hungry. So when you take that awareness and then you program it into a diet / lifestyle protocol that we've created in 30 days to shreds, bro, you can easily do 4 days a week, okay, out of seven, and then times that, you know, over a 4-week process, right? So you've got 16 days in a 30-day window where you don't eat food, but you do cardio twice a day. You, you know, are taking obviously other agents and metabolic accelerants. And of course, this is not disturbing your sleep. I mean, some people might sleep a little bit less because, you know, when you're fasting for 24 to 26 hours, you can definitely have, you know, increase in ghrelin and, you know, some other biochemical cascades and pathways, which may keep you awake. But if you do the other things that we talk about, like taking melatonin correctly and at high dosages and stuff, you'll sleep fine. But you will just, I mean, it's, dude, it's insane the amount of fat loss that you can experience in 30 days or less. And again, it's not relative to genetics. It has nothing to do with body type or, you know, whether or not your somatotype is, you know, hypermuscular versus like, you know, skinny fat. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. If you follow the instructions and you get the, obviously, peptide fat loss agents that we recommend and, you know, some of the other things like even maybe this, the amount of fat loss that you can have in 30 days, dude, is insane. And this is important. It's maintainable fat loss. So it's not crash diet, regain, destroy thyroid, you know, slower or lower metabolism and, you know, have all the rebound weight gain that most people do from crash diets or, you know, water fast or any of this other bullshit. Like this is literally designed so that you will lose the most amount of body fat possible in 30 days and feel good doing it. And, you know, obviously when you're alternate fasting, on the days that you train and the days that you eat, which are the same days, you pretty much eat whatever you want. Now, obviously, the caveat being if you're 400 pounds, that's not possible, right? But if it's me and you and you're doing it to get to, say, 5% body fat, you absolutely can. So again, the human body is a very dynamic homeostatic, you know, organism, and it seeks homeostasis. So if you're fasting every other day and on the fasting days, you're also throwing in all these, again, metabolic accelerants, and then on the next day, you're eating and you're eating relatively unrestrained and you're increasing carbohydrate consumption in, you know, controlling for insulin, your body is in quote unquote haywire mode. So one day it's like conserving and one day it's consuming. And so it never, ever adapts to a place of like, it becomes, you know, metabolically resistant. So you're constantly, varying your body's, you know, caloric intake and obviously, metabolic rate, you know, through thyroid and all that stuff. So it just, put it this way, it works for everyone.
Yeah. Look, I love that you're mentioning that it's a pulsation because the body adapts to things very well. If you don't do that, that can lead to a stalling progress or even going backwards and having detrimental effects.
There's a lot of people out there in the biohacking space talking smack about these agents and the truth of what they're saying is, you know, it needs to be deciphered. And that is a lot of people are saying it causes muscle loss. You know, it causes metabolic issues after coming off. All of those things are true for the record, but only in the people who are uninformed when they use these agents. And unfortunately, like everybody else in the world, That's the normal case, right? You get a physician who doesn't understand how to actually teach a person how to lose body fat correctly or how to maintain it or keep it off. And now you're having these people script them these powerful, appetite suppressing and controlling drugs like tirzepatide or semaglutide. And bro, they won't eat, right? And they think that's good. And if you're a morbidly obese person, and you see the scale dropping and your pants and your waist dropping, you're not going to listen to a Jay Campbell or a Ben Greenfield or a Mark Sisson tell you, no, dude, you got to build muscle and lift weights and you got to eat more protein. So it's all within context. And the reality is if you do this right, and again, obviously this book is going to provide a blueprint, guide in how to do this, you will be blown away at how profound the changes are. And again, like I said, the changes are maintainable. Because they're now finding out that the GLP-1 agonists are changing habits or habit formation in the brain. There's all sorts of research coming out now that they're improving depression, right? Like we wrote about that in my email the other day. An article just came out in Nature about how they're seeing that people who have been on semaglutide for 2 years literally are not depressed anymore. So, I mean, again, but it all makes sense, right? Like you lose body fat, you start feeling good, you start looking good, and it changes your mindset. It changes your mental state. You become less depressive and more positive, right? Because you see things in a different way. You don't think of yourself in a less than or, a quote unquote lack perspective anymore. You're now like, oh, wow, like this is the new me, right? So it's changing a lot of habits, that people were pre-programmed before to have as negative, and it's making things a lot more positive. So, I'm very pro on these new, metabolic accelerants / peptides that help people. It's just about now not lecturing, but teaching people how to use them in the correct way within the context of health and longevity and not listening to the mainstream media tell them that it's blah, blah, blah. And look, as I told you off the air, if you don't do this right and you do take too much of this peptide or this GLP-1 agonist or don't eat enough protein and don't lift weights and do all these things, then yes, all of these negative potential side effects can happen to you. But again, context is key. And if you do everything within the context of the way it's supposed to be done, you will not have any of those negative issues.
I hadn't heard that about the depression improving after a course of this. But I guess it makes sense because if you decrease inflammation throughout the body, you decrease neuroinflammation, that's going to increase and up-level your baseline state. And then also what you were saying earlier about the dangers and the drawbacks. One thing that I was thinking of when you first started describing it with the alternate day fasting is that for someone relatively lean like you and me, that's going to be difficult to maintain that muscle. And I was wondering if you would burn more muscle as a percentage than you would fat if you're already lean, or if this would be better for people who are more overweight.
So it's a great question and it's a great comment. We actually even have a chapter in here to address this. So if you're not hormonally optimized, meaning you're not using therapeutic testosterone, you're not using peptides, and you go down this path and you use some of these drugs, and you're not fat, is there a possibility that you could probably lose a little bit of muscle if you weren't extremely cautious and you weren't, eating enough protein and stuff? Yes. And again, this is in the clinical research. But if you're hormonally optimized using peptides and doing everything else right, you're not going to lose muscle. There was one scientific study done on Olympic caliber athletes in Canada. And it was from the 70s. And it was an alternate day fasting study, and it was over 120 days. And it showed that, and these guys were elite Olympic caliber athletes, no one in the study lost any muscle at all. And again, this is the elite of elite athletes. I'm sure they were enhanced. Of course, that wasn't covered. But back then in the Olympics, if you were a track and field sprinter or athlete, you were probably on the sauce. Not one person lost any muscle under 72 hours without food. Now, again, these are hydrated athletes. This is not like not drinking water. I mean, they're, probably taking electrolytes, but they were not eating food. So I always tell people, like, I don't give a who you are. Don't believe the hype or the bro scientism. Because again, dude, the bodybuilding culture is, they really do convince themselves that they don't eat every 4 hours, they lose muscle. You know, these big guys, 300 pounds, you know, juiced to the gills will be like, yeah, but I'm not a normal bro. You know, okay, well, great, dude. But you, even at that size and that enhanced level with all that protein accretion and consumption, like you are still not going to burn muscle at any kind of accelerated rate beyond 48 hours of without food. So now again, you know, that's not to take into mind that these guys aren't dying because their bodies are like machines and they need food and how are they going to go 48 hours? But you're not going to burn muscle. So in reality, you're not going to lose muscle. You know, every other day of fasting, you know, you can, again, all these guys in the book from the photos that we have and the measurements that are in the book, you'll see if anything, they probably gained half a pound of muscle. People don't realize that when a person is obese, they have literally a massive cytokine storm flowing through their body at all times. So these people are not healthy, but they're also, as you said, depressive because they're in pain 24/7. Like you cannot be a metabolically dysregulated, obese human being and not suffer. And again, this is biological. This is not mental, which obviously we know that mental suffer too, because they're being humiliated, made fun of, you know, mistreated in the workplace, mistreated in public. You know, when somebody walks up to a very morbidly obese person, usually they don't, you know, they don't, they're not treated the same, bro. Let's just be honest. They're not given equal treatment. So you're right. You lose that weight. You get rid of all these inflammatory, you know, again, call them cytokine storms that are all through their body. Of course, they're going to have an increased, improved mindset. Of course, they're going to have more positive thought processes. Of course, they're going to have more quote unquote freedom to receive what I call the divine, you know, nature or downloads of quote unquote source consciousness because they're not in pain anymore.
Yeah. And that's the thing that you mentioned, that obesity is in carrying around extra body fat is much more than just an aesthetic problem. It really translates all the way across the board into your entire quality of life.
Totally, man. And look, man, I have obesity that runs in my family. Without getting, you know, caught up in this, like my mom died 3 months ago and she was morbidly obese for 30 years of her life. And she really didn't even have much of a will to live other than she was afraid of dying. She was more caught up in the fear of dying than like letting go because, bro, she was suffering. I mean, my mom was suffering, you know, and so it's like I have experienced this firsthand. So if there's anything that I can do is my mission now in the world is like, I truly want to help people get over being dysregulated metabolically and quote unquote hot, you know, having too much body fat. And obviously it affects so many people, men and women, you know, not just in the West, everywhere in the planet. And again, it's because our food is contaminated. Our environment is contaminated. Our airspace is contaminated. Our water is contaminated. So it's like, you know, how can we teach people in this age of abundance? Because it is an age of abundance. It's not a lack mindset. But of course, all of those people have a lack mindset because as you said, Nick, like every morning they wake up in pain.
Tell me some more about the different things, different classes of ingredients or things that you do for people who are already beyond the beginner stage, maybe in the intermediate or advanced. Are there any other molecules or agents that you find interesting?
Oh yeah, man. Like, I mean, like you said, so fully effing optimized in the book is the kitchen sink, right? So it's like, are you willing to do whatever it takes, but not, you know, putting yourself in danger, but, you know, quote unquote, do whatever it takes to get there in 30 days. You know, here's some stuff you can take. Well, I mean, so phentermine. So you remember the book, the drug Fen-Phen, right? So all these people like lost all this weight and then all these people got sued because they were, again, obese people having heart issues and stuff like that. Fen-Phen was a gnarly drug. But phentermine was a part of Fen-Phen, not the agent that was killing people, but it was an amazing potent, a mimetic to enhance metabolism and delay appetite. Well, people have forgotten about that. Dude, that's over the counter in Mexico. Right. So when you start like taking a modulated dosage of that, and really a modulated dosage of that is 15 milligrams, it's a 30 milligram tablet, and you space that out with your tesofensine, dude. I mean, because that also enhances metabolic rate. Right. So, like, you can take tesofensine in the morning and take your phentermine in the afternoon before you do your second set of cardio. And again, I'm obviously giving you very advanced hacks right now, dude. super fat loss, super cellular respiration. You know, throw this in too if you want to take this before your second cardio session at night. And again, this is advanced stuff. Like, I'm not telling people to take all three of these things, but you absolutely can. And I've done it myself, and other guys in my group have done it myself, and, you know, to no issue, you know, other than, you know, the issue might be that your pants fall off and you have to get new clothes. But to answer your question too, you know, obviously, peptides, you know, if you, depending on your age, you know, if you're in your 30s, Ipamorelin or Tesamorelin, if you're in your 40s or older, growth hormone, you know, obviously, you know, make sure you don't have a testosterone deficiency. If you do have a testosterone deficiency, both whether you're a male or female, you know, get your hormones optimized. You know, obviously we're talking about surgically precise dosages here. We're not talking about anabolic steroids. You know, there's other nootropics. This is a bioregulator from Russia, also a brain. This is Bemetil. Can you see that? So, I mean, this is, dude, I mean, because tesobenzene works so profoundly in me, I don't really need any of these things, right? Like, but if I really want to fast, because one of the things that we talk about in this book to really, you know, enhance the game of fat loss in 30 days is to go an entire weekend without eating, right? So your last meal is Friday night, say 7 o'clock. And then Saturday and Sunday, you cardio twice both days and you don't eat again until Monday morning. If you do that, you know, 3 weekends out of a 4 weekend month, dude. Now, you did ask me, I'll just end it with this. I don't have it yet. I wish I did. But there is an agent coming, which we write about in the book, called Retatrutide, which is literally going to be a triple agonist, right? So semaglutide is a single agonist. Tirzepatide is a double agonist. Retatrutide will be a triple agonist. So imagine taking a peptide that you inject once a week, and you might not need anything else. Maybe you take your growth hormone and your testosterone or something, but like, the retatrutide will be hitting all levels of fat loss, right? So it enhances metabolism, enhances cellular respiration, and increases or improves brown adipose tissue, which is white fat, you know, which also enhances cellular metabolism while you're walking around, right? So essentially, you're going to be like a fat-burning machine with one shot a week. Which ultimately, if it works in the theory that they think, I mean, bro, it could eliminate obesity.
So now I understand part of the protocol in order to eliminate some of the muscle loss you may have is you're still using other peptides and like other strategies of maintaining and getting some of that muscle sparing effect. Are you using anything on the days off, like essential amino acids or anything like that during the quote fast?
Yeah. So all of those, so that's kitchen sink. So all of those, if you have access to them, can afford them, can get them, are all great. I mean, in truth, you're really just eating unrestrained, right? So it's like on your training and eating day, you're eating 3 to 6 times. You're not really caring. I mean, again, you're not eating pizzas and Mountain Dews, right? But like, you should be eating clean carbohydrates, you know, yams, white rice, you know, quinoa, oatmeal, you know, stuff like that, with obviously the right kind of you know, wild caught fish, grass fed meats, and again, you're eating to a point where like you feel, you know, good.
But on the fasting days, is it a pure fast or are you adding some other things into that that might?
So the only thing you would add is like, and I'm not fasting today. Today's a training day for me, but like an electrolyte, like down here in Mexico, this is called, what is the name of this store? Electrolife. And it's a zero electrolyte. Yeah, it's a zero electrolyte. It's like Propel or something like that in the States. And I throw in, and there's a lot of these different ones too, right? Like, so this is Noon, and this is like a caffeine tablet. But there's also, you know, there's ones with salt and stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty much just no calories, you know, add caffeine. So if you want to drink black
no coffee, aminos either.
Yeah, no aminos. No, absolutely no protein, no fat, nothing on fasting days. And you just get to a place where your body just becomes extremely fast adapted. You're definitely in trace ketosis. We talk about this in the book. And obviously when you're in ketosis, it's pretty much muscle sparing. You know, again, relatively speaking, you know, 24 to 26 to 30 hours or not. Even if you go hardcore Friday night, and again, we don't recommend this. This is all explained in the book. We don't recommend doing an entire weekend of fasting until you're really fast adapted. you know, and by the way, the first chapter is quizzing you, where are you, right? So just because you're advanced in this level doesn't mean you're advanced in the rest of it. So it's like, you got to pass a bunch of, you know, quote unquote, red flags to actually be fully effing optimized to do it. So it's like, if you're not there, we don't recommend you go down this path because you're not going to get ultimate results. So, you know, we do a heavy quantification process in this book of placing people where they need to be. But if you're somebody who's already fasted for 3 days and had no issues in your life, when you did that, then you're ready to be fully effing optimized because you've already turned on some of the machinery in the brain, you know, and obviously the metabolism that says I'm fast adapted, I can go this long. But bro, most people, you know, they're so reactive and emotional based that they can't go 4 hours without food. You know what I mean? So you have to train your body's microbiome to get to a level where you're not hangry, you know, after 6 to 8 to 10, 12 hours. And, you know, that's why we say the best process of this is learning to do, you know, the Martin Brecand's fasting, which isn't even fasting, but, you know, 16 hours without food. And then, you know, progress from there. But in, you know, in my book, The Blowtorch Diet, which, you know, was old now, 7 years old, we talked about, you know, the process of autophagy and hormesis not really occurring until you're 18 hours into a fast. And again, there's tons of scientific research that shows this, right? And again, when you're then that process and your body becomes very fast adapted and regulated to that, that's when you have all of the fight or flight hormones, the catecholamines, which are mobilizing the stored body fat, right? So it's like the real fat loss in fasting comes between 20 and 24 hours. That's when you have all the biochemical cascades that allow you to, you know, at least you physiologically to mobilize the belly fat. You know, for women, it's like in the, you know, the hip thigh, glute thigh, you know, tie-in. That's when the fat loss in those areas come off, but it's not until you get to that level. And so then once you become mentally, again, I call it fast adapted to going that long, it's amazing how fast the fat loss starts falling off. It don't, and that's what I'm saying. It only takes a month of doing this.
Yeah. Okay. So last topic is to talk a little bit more about the GLP-1 agonists because they become really hot and I want to get your take on a couple of things. And then we'll do a rapid fire round and call it a day.
Awesome, man.
All right. So one of my concerns about the GLP agonists, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, is that they elevate GLP-1 and insulin a lot longer than you can get naturally. And so it doesn't really follow the principles of biomimicry of like trying to replicate what's naturally happening. And then also there's the caveat of getting the dose right, because if you accidentally do 10 times the dose of any of the GLP-1s, you're going to be really hurting.
You had to say that, didn't you? So we talked off air. So yes, everything, these are great questions. So let me just say with a caveat of what you said, if you're a peptide user and you're not experienced and you jump into GLP-1 agonists and you don't know how to reconstitute, you don't have, let's just call it compounder or pharmacist / doctor's instructions to the letter, you're playing with fire. Okay. Because as you just made a funny out of it, I've had people literally come to me and say, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. I thought I was going to die. I couldn't eat for 5 or 6 days. And then I'm, you know, I backtrack with them and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then they tell me they injected the entire vial of tirzepatide at one sitting. It's like insane. So to answer your question, so a bunch of things are, in my opinion, highly, highly necessary when you're using GLP-1 agonists. You have to either be on metformin or dihydroberberine, okay? Because both of those, you know, supplements / meds are going to massively and dramatically suppress your blood glucose, control your insulin sensitivity to make you much more insulin sensitive. So those things, what you're saying, when you take them are all true. So metformin and dihydroberberine, and by the way, there's a lot of people that use those together now, right? Because dihydroberberine will suppress and also allow for glucose disposal better than metformin will by itself. So if you're using both of them, you're giving yourself like a never-ending suppression of blood glucose while at the same time heightening insulin sensitivity, which is a great thing. But something else you said that I want to address is, and this is where people pick this up, you cannot use these things and then think that you can't also change your lifestyle from a dietary perspective. to not live insulin controlled. So all of these people that are suffering and having these side effects and feeling like, dude, I've heard the stupidest stories from people. You can't continue to be a human garbage disposal and take these things and think they're going to work because, bro, if anything, they're going to regulate you to a place where you're going to be nauseous. And you are going to vomit and you are going to be like, your body is telling you, oh my God, I'm treating my body like a dumpster fire while I'm on these agents. And these agents are so strong and profound in their effect that they're literally making me get rid of this stuff because they're like garbage in, garbage out, bro. And again, how hard is it from a meal prep standpoint to live your life of like, okay, today I can eat, tomorrow I don't eat, right? Now, let me say that. Let me break that because again, depending on how fat you are and how much metabolic derangement you have, me and you, we don't have to go 24 hours without eating. You know, if we're going to break our fast, let's say we go 18 to 20 to 21 hours without food, we get autophagy and hormesis, we do our second cardio session, you know, we're burning fat, we're looking lean, we can see our abs, blah, blah, blah. You know, we break our fast at night. How do you want to eat? Well, again, simple. The higher the fat, the lower the carbohydrate consumption. The less the body fat, the more carbs you can eat. Now, again, I'm not telling you to stuff in four sweet potatoes, right? But if you want to eat a sweet potato and maybe some sea bass and some broccoli or asparagus or something like that, or maybe even a sweet potato and a half. And again, you know, you're a lean person already, that's fine. But if you're fat and again, inflamed and you're just not the metabolic, you know, picture of health, no carbs. If you're breaking your fast, right? Like you should be eating a protein shake with like MCT oil and cinnamon and vanilla extract or something like that. Or, you know, you're eating a ribeye with broccoli or asparagus. We have to be cognizant and recognize what we are metabolically and then use that contextually with what we eat. And I see way too many people go 20 to 21 hours of fasting and do everything right and then break it by eating like that one meal and over consuming, you know, carbohydrates. So again, everything is always relevant to your body fat level, your insulin resistance. And from there, you kind of modify and augment as you go. If you're a lean person, obviously you can get away with much more carbohydrates and you can probably even get away with eating late. Now, one caveat that I love to add to this is that this is why I like not eating at all on the fasting days. You know, if you start looking at the quote unquote Mediterranean diet, the paleo type lifestyles, they will say to you, and again, everybody misses this, food should be consumed during daylight hours, right? And if you think about it, if you go back to the ancient style of life, that's exactly how food was consumed because they didn't have electricity, right? I mean, there weren't people microwaving food at 9 o'clock at night, you know what I mean? So it's like, if we live according to the way we were designed metabolically, that's going to be a lot better. Like if you have no food in your gullet after 7 p.m. at night and you go to bed at 10:30, dude, you're never going to have inflammation. You're going to wake up in the morning optimized.
Yeah. And when you have a wearable you can use to track your sleep, your recovery, everything, then you can see, I woke up feeling like crap because I ate right before bed. But if you don't have that, it can be a disconnect between the cause, which is the night before, and the effect that shows up when you wake up.
Bro, I ate a bag of M&Ms last night. We're in Tulum. My wife went to bed. We were walking around. We had this awesome dinner, this Japanese ribotta where they cook it in front of you. And so we went back to the hotel room and she went to sleep and I was like wired, you know, writing my email for today. And I saw a bag of M&Ms and I'm like, oh. And I ate the whole bag and I went to bed like 30 minutes later. You know, it wasn't a giant bag. It was just a mini bag or whatever. But I woke up this morning and I was like, what the f*** did I do to myself? And my body is so regulated. I didn't even remember that I ate it, but I was like, that's what it was. And so I felt like for the first 60 minutes, because I put probably, you know, 75 to 80 grams of sugar in my body before I went to bed last night. And so, I mean, like, it doesn't matter how lean and metabolically regulated and insulin sensitive you are. When you do that to your body at inopportune or quote unquote wrong times, you have, hell to pay. You know, there's a comeuppance and that's what it is. And it's like, you know, I'm 52 years old. I mean, it's not like when I was 32 and I could get away with it much easier. I mean, as you age, your body tells you like immediately. And that's why I laugh, dude, at people like my age who are still consuming alcohol. I mean, you want to destroy yourself and toxify your cells and shorten your lifespan, then by all means, continue to drink 3 or 4 glasses of wine at night, you know, with your friends or your wife or your husband. That is the fastest, quickest way to an early grave. And again, not just an early grave, but cellular rotting, right? Because again, dude, what does alcohol do? It is literally a nerve toxin. I mean, I can't even imagine all the things it does to people's bodies physiologically. Yeah, but bro, it takes the edge off. Okay. But also shortens your lifespan. So it's like, if there's one thing that you can stop doing as you're in your 40s and 50s is drinking alcohol, because it serves no purpose.
There's a lot of ways of taking the edge off too that don't harm you. And I'd say even more so than shortening your life, it's the quality of life degradation you're experiencing every time you drink, whether it's a really micro level. I shouldn't say that every time you drink, it's the day after every time you drink, when your body's trying to get back to homeostasis. And it may be obvious, it may not.
It's totally true, bro. There's nothing worse. Well, so I'll just say this to add it to 30 days to shreds. If you want to ruin your results and dramatically lessen your potential, you drink alcohol on the weekends. Because, you know, that's what people will say. Oh, well, bro, you know. Because look, the program, we didn't talk about this. Let's talk about Saturday and Sunday just real quick because it's relevant. It's designed so that if you want to have a meal with the family on Saturday night or Sunday night, go ahead, right? But if you want to throw in alcohol in those meals, you just undid the whole week. Literally the whole week. And as you know, bro, the leaner you get, the more sensitive you get to toxins, the worse the alcohol undoes your results and your productivity and everything you just gained. That's what's so mind-blowing. You know, people want to have 3 glasses of wine and then not realize why they don't get the results that somebody who didn't have any of that alcohol got that week. But it was only 3 glasses of wine and I did everything right for 6 days. Yeah, but you just undid the previous 6 days by drinking 3 glasses of wine, dude.
And I haven't shared this on the podcast, but one thing I realized the other day is that I used to be able to just put down drinks and drink anyone under the table. And then that changed as I started getting healthy. And I realized that one perspective of health is its sensitivity to a bunch of different things, to everything really, whether it's hormones, it's insulin, it's testosterone. Otherwise, it's like your intuition. It's the chemicals and the agents we put in our bodies. Like the healthier you are, the more you can discern small little changes to your baseline state.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, I'm very blessed in that my mom and dad were not drinkers. And I got drunk once in my entire life. You know, true story, when I was 18 years old, I went back to school to see my buddies that I left when I was a freshman in New York, upstate New York. And they were just handing me glasses of water at this summer party. I was a senior in high school. And I mean, I thought it was water. And the next thing I remember, bro, is I lost an entire day of my life. I was literally puking up peritoneum, you know, the black stomach lining, shitting myself. Thank God one of my good friends took me and just put me in his tub and undressed me. Yeah, I mean, I only did that once in my life. And I was like, how do people do this? And then do this over and over and over again and justify it. It's like, it's almost like, I mean, I'm obviously extreme when I think this, but I almost feel like they're demon possessed or something. Like it's something else that's craving the alcohol, because how can a human being desire to feel that way? It's insane.
It just goes to show what we can put up with in the short-term pleasure. And if it results in a whole ruined next day, or for a lot of people, the next day, the consequences become less and less the more you drink, the more often, the more heavily. But either way, I mean, it doesn't do anything good for health. We'll start to close this out. If people want to connect with you to pick up any of your 5 books, soon to be 5 books, and they want to follow your podcast, visit your website, how do they find you?
So the easiest way to get all sorts of free stuff and find, you know, access to Jay Campbell is just go to jcampbell.com/free books. So you'll get a free chapter, actually 2 chapters in the intro to the newest book, Peptides book. You get a full copy of the TOT Bible, which is up until the 30 Days to Shreds book. It's definitely going to be my masterpiece. You also get the Metabolic Blowtorch Diet PDF. And then I also have a book on raising consciousness. So there's 4 PDFs that you get right there. And then, you know, from that, you can find me on my email list. It's join.jcampbell.com. I have about 21,000 people on my email list now. And yes, we will email you every day. but with a lot of really good information. But so that's the easiest way. And then, of course, on social media, I'm just jcampbell333, and that's pretty much everywhere. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of me. And, dude, honestly, man, this has been a profound show. I hope you break this up so we don't, like, just overload their brains. But, like, this has been amazing, and I'm grateful that we had a chance to do this today.
Before we sign off today, we'll do a quick rapid-fire round. Are you ready?
Let's do.
If there was a burning of the books and all knowledge on Earth is lost, you get to save the three most important health optimization works. What would you choose and why?
Wow, that's impossible, man. You're putting me on the spot. I would probably just say spiritual books. Like, I don't even know if I would even go down the health optimization books. Like, the Ramtha series of books are absolutely amazing. You know, as quote unquote ascended master, he came back here and channeled information to people. And there's so many of those books, but all of the Ramtha teachings are absolutely amazing. You know, if I was going to do like a fitness, book, it would definitely be the Encyclopedia of Modern Bodybuilding from Arnold Schwarzenegger, just for the purposes of teaching people how to do resistance training, right? Like, that's probably the best book. It's definitely not the best science on weight training and building muscle and stuff like that, but from a purely teaching people level, that book has the pictures, you know, and the great explanations of like why you do this for your shoulders, for your chest. I mean, dude, most people, as you know, like, they don't even know what the chest, the delts, the biceps and the triceps are. They just watch people at the gym. So that book would teach you that. And then I would say, wow, man, I would say the third book, you know, I would actually say probably the Barbara Marciniak books, which are, there's three of them, The Path to Empowerment, Bringers of the Dawn, and The Family of Light. So all three of those books are very, very profound spiritual teachings. And by the way, all of these spiritual books also have a lot in there about health and exercise and wellness and teaching people the importance of optimizing the human avatar, right? Which is the physical body, right?
I like that. The way I describe it is, if you look at instruments, just some small little shape adjustments, some tweaks, and can make huge differences to the sound. And that's an instrument. Now you take that and you apply that to the human body, the human vessel. And if you're out of shape for what your body needs, you can just imagine that it's going to have a lot of the same effects, and you're not going to be living up to your potential.
But dude, honestly, you don't even know how profound of something you just said. Like, you just, like, all the hairs on my right arm. So when my higher self comes in, these stand up, or the back on my left neck. And so all the hairs on my right arm, because you said the sound, when you alter the sound, dude, that's it. The frequency is who we are and what we are. So, like, when you alter the frequency of the human bioenergetic organism, then you can't be connected to, quote unquote, you know, the source, you know, the source consciousness, God, divinity, whatever you want to classify it as. But that's it, dude, the sound. If you do 5-MEO, and you go, you know, the Sonoran Desert Toad, whether you do a hit of it or bong hit of it, synthetic or whatever, and I've done both. When you're in the energy and frequency of the source, all you hear is a sound, but you're technically not in your physical body. Your energy, your essence, again, your bioenergetic state is outside, and you sense it. It's the most profound experience, but I've never thought of it as you said it, but the sound is it, bro.
All right, Jay, what is one thing that you're researching these days?
That, man, ascension. How do I take my energetic presence out of my body on a more regular basis? And then how do I teach others to do the same? So I actually have a term for it. Ascensional alchemy.
Beautiful. What is one thing that your tribe does not know about you?
That I do not care as much about the Jay Campbell physical body as they think I do.
Ties in perfectly what we were just saying. Well, Jay, how would you like to land this plane together? Any takeaways?
No, man. I'm just profoundly grateful to be here with you today. This has been one of the best podcasts I've ever done. I hope as many people as possible will find this and find value in this, and obviously reach out to either me or you in some ways that we can help, you know, share this to the bigger collective. Because honestly, bro, like, you know, as you said, you know, I'm literally here, as I tell my wife every day, to help people. Like, I am here to serve creation, you know, and if I can do it through channeling Yoda or channeling this shamanic, you know, energetic spirit guide over here, that's how I do it. And so whenever I get a chance to talk shop with some of the things that I'm truly inspired to speak about. It just, man, it brings the best out of me. So, man, I'm so grateful for you, Nick, because you did an amazing job today. And, you know, let me know how I can return the favor and, you know, serve your audience and stuff like that. But that's it, man. I mean, I'm grateful.
Thanks, Jay. Yeah, this has been a really fun conversation. And like I said, we could go on forever about these topics we're both so passionate about. We didn't even touch on so many different things, including the nootropics, the spiritual side of things, because that's like one that's completely overlooked by this. So yeah, I guess part two will be in the books down the line at some point, because we got to cover those topics as well. I'm looking forward to it.
For sure, man. Well, thank you so much for having me on today, man. It's been an honor.
It's been a pleasure. I'm Nick Urban here with Jay Campbell, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.